Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. John, just keep playing right there. I know it's not normal what we normally do, but John's so anointed anyway, he helps mess me up. So keep messing me up, John, please. That's just the anointing. That's what I crave for, you guys. Man, so many dead churches in the world. I want his presence. To be honest, I don't know what to do right now. His love is here. I mean, he's here. It's just his love's here, you know. And I don't know what you've been going through, but every time. If you trust him, he'll bring you out every time. Okay, I'm trying. I'm really trying. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And guys, he's coming. The passion by which I preach today, I preach because Jesus is coming and I want you to make it. Amen, somebody. I'm one of these guys, I still believe there's a real heaven, a real hell, and Jesus is really coming again. And not everybody's gonna make it. But if you don't hear anything I preach today, hear the love of God coming through my lips, that you gotta give your life right because Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Come up here by me, sweetheart. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Everybody in this room, before you got saved, we lived in ignorance. We didn't know what was right and wrong. But when you get saved, you're supposed to have this inward conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit to not do the evil desires you once did again. Hello, somebody. But just as he who has called you is holy, I know it's hard. I know it's hard to deal with this text. So be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I, your Lord God, am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially. We're all going to be judged, guys. Hey, gentlemen, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness, I'm so honored. Wow, thank you so much. Can we give it up for our servicemen, guys? Come on. Wow. Come on, do a little bit better than that. Come on. Wow, thank you, guys. Wow. Thank you so much. This is a blessing to us today. What a treat. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's works impartially, live out your own time here as foreigners. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a foreigner. Here in reverent fear. In other words, guys, this earth that we are in right now is just our temporary home. We are not, this is just, in the words, of, I know, listen, Carrie Underwood made it a song, it's cute, it's modern, it's cold. This is our temporary home, but there is a real heaven to gain and there's a real hell to shun. And God is calling us as the children of God to come out of this world and be, we're a part of it, but you ain't got to be a part of it. Amen, somebody. We're not supposed to conform to the evil desires which we have been called out of, but we're to be holy as he is holy. I want to preach the second installment of this series entitled Different. We have different values. And I pray today that the message stirs you and motivates you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Honey, please pray that their ears hear what I say through the Spirit of God, that it's not just me, and that I preach in such a way that it communicates to where they hear it. In the name of Jesus.
Father, thank you so much for already being present today. from the very first service to the second service to right now, God.
Yes, God.
Thank you that your love is being felt right now.
Yes, God.
Somebody who's on the verge, God, is feeling your love right now. Somebody who is frustrated and dealing with some issues in their life when they walked in the door, God, I thank you that you met them here. And God, when they leave here, they're going to leave changed. God, I pray that you speak your word over your people today. God, I pray that victory would come to them. Peace would come to them. Love would come to them. Healing would come to them, God. They would hear and sense your word like never before, Jesus. God, when you show up, things change. And we are so privileged and blessed to have you in this house today. God, give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. God, and I pray that you would speak the word of God through my husband today. I pray that you would speak through our pastor. We pray that the anointing on him would increase even now in the name of Jesus. We command our pastor to go up in the name of Jesus. We speak supernatural strength over his spirit and mind right now. God, encourage him even now in the name of Jesus. Give him ears to hear what you are saying today to speak the word of God to your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Can we do something before we sit down? Can we just put our hands together and just give God a shout of praise in the building? Come on. Come on, a little bit louder than that. Come on. A little bit. Hallelujah. All right. Now around here, for all of our first-time guests, we do one more thing. I want you to find at least two people. Look them straight in the eye and say, you are definitely different. Mm-hmm. Here in 1 Peter, Peter was talking to a church that was facing severe persecution. I taught you last week that it was during the reign of the Emperor Nero, and Christians were persecuted. They were under much scrutiny. They were detested. Nero had mocked them, burnt them alive, persecuted them extremely. And the church that was present during the time of this writing was facing what a lot of you and I face today. They were facing the pressure just to fit in and be like everybody else. They were fighting the desire to camouflage themselves in with the world. Our servicemen, and we're so greatly appreciative that you're here today. But they must have got the memo to wear the camouflage today, because I was going to be preaching a little bit about camouflage. You know, camouflage, our servicemen wear camouflage so they can fit into the surroundings and blend in with the landscaping wherever they are placed and put by their commanding officers. And a lot of Christians, they have the same type of mindset. I call it spiritual camouflage, where they approach and they live their life camouflaged in with the world. You can't tell any difference between them and the world. They look like the world. They talk like the world. They sound like the world. They have sex like the world. They drink like the world. They do relationships like the world. They spend their money like the world. Like a chameleon, they will change in any environment that you put them in. If they're with liars, they'll become a liar. If they're with drunkards, they'll become a drunkard. If they're a pervert, they'll become a pervert. They're like chameleons. They camouflage themselves. The only proof we know that you say you're a Christian is because you come to church on Sunday morning. But if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would you be tried as guilty or innocent? I'm looking for a real church that in this last hour will stand up to the culture and the system of the day and refuse to be refused, denied to be denied, and say, I'm not going to give in anymore. I'm going to stand up and stand out. I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to stand out. I'm not going to blend in. I'm going to be set apart and be different. Look at your neighbor. Say, you different. Look at someone behind you. Say, you are called to be different. So we all struggle here, don't we? I mean, can be honest. Let's be honest. We all struggle with the desire to fit in. Everybody in this room, we want to be liked. We want to fit in. We want more people to be our friends. But I want to encourage you today. Do not fight to be liked on the altar of compromising your convictions. Do not fight to be liked on the altar of losing your personal holiness. Do not fight to be liked on the altars of what's popular coming out of CNN and Fox News. You don't fight to be liked by that crew. You're not called to be made in the image of the world. You are made in the image of God. Therefore, do not conform to the pattern of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I hear Pastor John coming up on the inside of me. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I hear Pastor James preaching this morning. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And anyone that is a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Look at somebody and tell them you called to be different. Your morals are supposed to be different. Your values are supposed to be different. What you stand up for is supposed to be different. What you stand against is supposed to be different. We are called in a culture that's upside down to flip it back the other way and to push and propagate the message of the kingdom. Look at somebody and say different. Look at somebody behind you and say different. Look at that bald head. Tap him on the shoulder and say, different. Different, 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 different. See, some of you think here today, we are like abnormal people living in a normal world. And I feel uncomfortable to stand up on my job. I feel uncomfortable to stand up in my relationships. I feel uncomfortable to be the person God has designed me to be. But let me just tell you today, the enemy was kicked out of heaven, and what was supposed to be a normal world became abnormal because he became the entity upon this planet by which it moved. And he is the power of the prince of the air, is what your Bible said. And he took something that was normal and perverted it. And so now we are not just normal people. We are not abnormal people. God has called you and I to be different than the world. We are not supposed to be like the world. We ain't supposed to drink like the world, talk like the world, watch what the world. We are called to be, look at your neighbor, say different. Different, different, different. Because in the world standard, what's normal to them is divorce 12 times. What's normal to them is to be broke as a joke. What's normal to them is to have $35,000 in credit card debt. What's normal to the world is to live together and have sex, but you ain't even married. What's normal to the world is to be filled with anxiety, full of fear, depressed, addicted, bound, suicidal, but you ain't called to be normal according to the world standard. You called to be different according to God's standard. But preacher, I hear you today. I hear you, pastor. But preacher, it is hard and it is lonely. But I still believe the Bible, because the Bible said broad is the road that leads to death and destruction, and many will be there that go that way. But narrow is the road that leads to heaven, and few there be that find it. I'd rather get to heaven lonely than enter hell with lots of friends. I'd rather look at your neighbor, say different. I'm not trying to be popular. I ain't trying to be liked. I'm not trying to influence people and gain friends. I'm a preacher of righteousness. I'm a John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey. I'm a prophet of the Lord that's calling a church back to God. Come on, somebody. Popular opinion is hardly ever right. And I am here to tell you today, if you will sell out to Christ, then you got to come out from amongst the world and be different. Preacher, are you trying to tell me that we've got to live perfect? No, because no one in this room is perfect. And most of us know that most of us in this room is not perfect. Look at your neighbor, say, he's talking to you, because I know you. Most of us in this room are broke in our heart. Most of us in this room have a past. Most of us in this room have a lot of I wish I didn't. Most of us in this room had a lot of no, no, Numba numba. What's that? A numba none of your business. We got a lot of stuff we did back yonder we ain't proud of. And it's caused things to spiral out of control in modern day for us. I came to talk to a church that ain't trying to be perfect. I came talking to a church that knows there's mess in here today. I came talking to a church that in your role right now there's addiction going on. There's depression going on. There's an in need of medication going on. Sick bodies going on. But I came to talk to a church that says, Pastor, I know that being different means I'm not perfect, but I hungered and strive to please the heart of my Father. That's what holiness is. Holiness is saying, God, I want to please you. God, I want to worship you. It's my desire to make you pleased with my life. Somebody say yes. Look at your neighbor, say yes. Look at somebody behind you, say yes. Yes to being different. Yes to holiness. Yes to being called out. Yes to being what the word said. Yes! Yes! Yes, yes, yes. Yes, see the problem with the church. I feel the Spirit of God on me so strong today. The problem with the church is we too busy looking like the world, agreeing with the standard of the world, that you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. You look for the world and it looks churchy. You look for the church and it looks worldly. That's why rappers can rap about smoking weed, hitting blunts, laying with the ladies, step behind a podium to receive an award and be like, I'd like to thank God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's wrong with the delusion? What's wrong with the mixing? But you can go to churches all over America and people on the platform supposedly worshiping God, but on Monday they're posting promiscuous pictures because there's a delusion. God is calling the church out. You better come out. Oh. Spirit of chameleon. Pastor, how much can I look like the world and still make it to heaven? How much Hennessy can I drink and still make it to heaven? How many girls can I sleep with and still make it to heaven? How far is too far? Honey, you better get right with God or you're gonna burn. You better turn your life around and repent to Jesus. Look at somebody, say yes. Oh, I feel like preaching up in this Presbyterian church today. When Presbyterian meets Pentecost. Different. Different. I'm so sick of the church looking the same as the world. I'm so sick of the church dressing like the world. I'm so tired of the church dropping F-bombs on Facebook. You can't tell no difference between you and the... Are you really saved? We got to come out. That means you can't. I wish I had me a disposable Bible, a paperback Bible. Any paperback Bibles in the building? I wish I had me a paperback Bible that I could do an illustration. He's running to get me a paperback Bible. The world then cannot set your standard. The word does. The world then cannot tell you what's right or wrong. The word does. That means if the world says abortion is okay, you can't agree with the world. You got to agree with the word. Because Proverbs says God hates hands that shed innocent blood. But you know what we do in a modern Christianity? We rip that part out the Bible. We ain't believing that. That's what we do in America. Our standard becomes the world's and the world's become ours because we ain't in the word. Sex before marriage, Pastor, that feels good. Well, duh. But we don't believe that. We like to live our own life. Absolute truth? No, Pastor. We believe in a diluted truth. Oh, well. Jesus is not coming back again, preacher. You are biblically inaccurate. Inaccurate. Speaking in tongues? You for real, preacher? What is this, 1952? We don't believe in no speaking in, y'all got your cameras out. We don't believe in no speaking in the tongues around here. That's scary. That's going to drive people away. So we rip the book of Acts out. We rip 1 Corinthians chapter 12 out. We rip Ephesians out. We rip Mark chapter 16 out. We don't want to believe in that part of the Bible because we want to please the world. Oh, preacher, I can live how I want to, drink what I want to, have sex with whoever I want to have sex with. I'm my own man. God didn't give me what I got it myself. So we say we're a Christian, but yet we've ripped the truth out, and all we have is shallow religiosity with no real depth. God is calling the body of Christ out of that type of Christianity and into being different. If you believe it, put your hands together and say yes. Come on, say yes. If you're going to be a part of the Lord's army, say God, yes. If you're tired of playing games, say God, yes. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called to be different. Come on, tell them different. Different in your lifestyle. Different in what you believe. Different in what you watch on Netflix. Different in what you drink. Different in who you lay down with, honey. If you ain't married to him, get out the bed. I feel like preaching, mama. You better help me today. You see this cup? You know what holiness means? The word holy is the word hagios in the Greek. And it means to be set apart for God and different. See, this cup is mine. Belongs to me. This is my water. It's got my DNA on it. About to get nasty in here. You can't put your lips on it. You know why? It doesn't belong to you. You can't put your DNA on it. You know why? It does not belong to you. You cannot partake of this cup. You know why? It does not belong to you. And some of you have allowed the world to put their lips all over you, and then you come up into church trying to offer God sloppy seconds. The devil is alive! Here's what you got to do. You need to get out the spiritual Holy Ghost clippers and start cutting the world out of your life. See how hard that is? It doesn't want to go, but you got to get your clippers out and start clipping that lifestyle out of your life that doesn't honor and glorify God and become more like him on a daily and on a weekly basis. You got to cut the junk out and become more like Jesus. If you believe it, say yes. Look at somebody and say, you different. Different. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on, somebody. If you believe it and you want to live right for Jesus, I dare you to put your hands together right now and put a little praise on it. Come on, put a little praise on it right there, right now, right anyhow. But pastor, then God want me happy. God does not want you happy at the expense of you losing your holy. Happiness theology teaches you where you justify sin as okay because after all, God wants you happy. So you're married and you have six girls on the side. Because that makes you happy. That ain't holy. That's called helly. 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 Ain't married. We live in a generation. They don't say, listen, they don't even honor marriage no more. That's why church people can come to church and act like nothing is wrong and they live together having sex, but you ain't even married. Listen, you better repent and get right between you and God because you're straight on the highway to hell and you're being deceived by the doctrines of devils. Different. Oh, this preacher is different. I know, listen, I know I'm different. I ain't trying to be like no other preacher. I'm not going to send your soul to hell at the expense of preaching some watered down false gospel that tells you you can live in the old way you want to and still make it. The devil is a liar. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, die, take up the cross, and follow me. Who you following, Jesus or you? Boy, I'm preaching hard today. But I want to be happy. So I spend what I can't afford because God wants me happy. So I sleep with somebody I'm not married to because God wants me happy. Don't like my wife no more, so I'm going to leave her to marry one 20 years younger because God wants me happy. God does not want you happy at the expense of you sacrificing your personal sanctification and holiness. I still believe hashtag holiness or hell. Y'all want a drink? Your life belongs to God. It's not yours. It's not the world's. I have to combat this in me too. I have to fight the world just like you do. Because it looks good. It feels good. It sounds good. It senses to be good. Come on, somebody. Pastor, you tell me sex for marriage isn't good. Oh, no, it's good. But it'll send you to hell. Well, why would God give it to us then for the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman only? Because, see, I say things like that because that's what the Bible says. Not me. That's what the Bible says. That's what your Bible says. Well, God doesn't care. Okay, say that on Judgment Day when he says, there will be many come to me that say, Lord, Lord, did we not go to church in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? And he's going to look right back at them and say, depart from me, you who work sin. I never knew you. Are you telling us today, preacher, we got to be perfect? Absolutely not. We've already established that you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're definitely not perfect. Holiness is not perfection. Holiness is saying, God, I got some junk in the water. It's there. Everybody sees it. And let me tell you, everybody sees it. But I just want you to know, God, that I'm offering up my vessel to you, not to the world. As impure as this is, God, as messed up as I can become, I want to please you, God. That's the vessel he picks up, one that's set apart for his use. Happiness theology is hellish theology. Look at your neighbor and say yes. If you say you follow Jesus, but yet your standards agree with the world, you don't follow Jesus. If you say you follow Jesus and your standards are that of a politician group, you don't follow Jesus. I don't know why Christians, I don't understand. Why do Christians get so, I wish some of y'all Christians get more passionate about Jesus than you do political parties. It's ridiculous. Causes more division in the kingdom than anything. Just get back to the word, man. You ain't a Democrat, Republican anyway. You're supposed to be number one, a Christocrat. One who follows Jesus. Huh? Donald Trump doesn't give me my standard. President Obama doesn't give me my standard. Hillary Clinton doesn't give me my standard. George W. doesn't give me my standard. I get my standard from the Word of God because I want to make heaven my home. I'm just a foreigner on a journey, but I'm about to one day leave this old earth. Breath will leave this body. I will stand before God, and how I live for him here will determine where I spend eternity forever. Look at your neighbor and say, this is different, all right? If you say you follow Jesus and the world, you're no different than someone working at the White House and opening a back door for the terrorists to come on in and sit down. Now, this affects all of us, right? We're not preaching perfection. We're preaching separation, holiness, to be a part of what God wants us to be a part of. Had young people tell me one day, Pastor, I want to serve God, but you don't understand. My mom and dad who come to church, they're pretenders. They know how to play the game at church, but as soon as we get in the car, they some cussing, drinking, smoking, devilish music, devilish TV, listening, watching, bunch of, how can I serve victoriously for God when my own family don't? Parents, if you want kids to serve God, you should probably do it too. And I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what you allow on Netflix, what you allow into your house, what you're clicking on the internet, how you talk to your wife, what you put before your children. Don't expect them to serve God if you won't. Yes, Lord. Look at somebody and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This thing tries to bite us all, you know. I wasn't even going to preach this hard third service, but something came on me. And it's all right. I am pressured just like you are to give in. Some preacher friends of mine, they said, Gallardo, you need to watch this new series on Netflix. It'll bless your life. They said, it'll bless my life. I said, well, what's it about? Well, it's hard to explain. They said, It's like when Goonies met E.T. and had a kid. Now, listen, I'm an 80s kid. I'm 41 years old. I know I shaved and I look like I'm 12, but I'm really 41. I look good for 41. Thank you. I love Goonies because Goonies never die. And I really related to Chunk as a kid. Can I get any other witnesses in the house? And I love DT, who always phoned home. So my expectation, y'all, was pretty high. I clicked on Netflix. Didn't even look at the rating because my preacher friends told me to watch it. And I opened up Stranger Things. And I began to watch it. I shut it off after a quick 10, 15, 20 minute dialogue. And it was all about summoning the dead, demons coming out the wall, murder, guts, and gore in the first 20 minutes. And the Holy Ghost began to talk to me and say to me, how can you be yoked with me and watch this and entertain yourself with? Aren't you supposed to be against the kingdom of darkness? See, some of y'all getting mad right now. That's good. That's good because you need some deliverance. You need truth in your mind. You need to hear the truth. Come on. Come out from among the world. Be separate unto me, all right? Okay, you want some truth? Put that scripture up there. Come on. You want to hear some truth? Leviticus. Come on, flip it up there. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists. You will be defiled by them. You want a scripture? There's one right there. I am the Lord your God. There's only one God. There's only one truth. There's only one standard. How can you contaminate this with entertaining yourself with the very prince of darkness that you're supposed to be against? Yeah, it's strange, all right, that Christians would indulge. It is strange, all right, that you can call yourself blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, and entertain yourself with the prince of darkness. I'm all up in your business. Pastor, ain't none of this necessary. We're under grace. We can live how we want to. We can drink when we want to drink. Smoke it when we want. After all, God gave us the herbs of the field. We can smoke that weed because God gave it to us. Praise the Lord. That came from the curse. It's a weed. Cursed be the ground. Let it bring forth thorn. The weeds ain't from God. The garden ain't had no weeds in it. Are you crazy? Yeah. But it makes me feel so good. That's the problem. You ought to be, the joy of the Lord ought to be your strength. Come on. You ought to be, when you wake up and see the sunrise, David said, your mercies are brand new every morning. Your grace is sufficient for me, oh God. Your joy ought not be wrapped up in homegrown sincere bloods. Your joy ought to be wrapped up in the joy of the Lord. I hear you. Some of you know more about Bud than you do Bible. Some of you know more statistics on Budweiser makes you feel than by getting in the Bible. We got to come out. Be different. Look at your neighbor. Say you're different, neighbor. You're just so different. Grab your Bibles. Come on. I hear you. I want some theology, Pastor.
There's lots of theology all over the floor. Some of you should take a page home. R2, except for maps. That doesn't count. I'm going to go home and read this map. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, flip to the back part of your Bible. There's maps. All right, let's look at some theology. Is that all right? Again, my fleece, I'm not saying anybody's called to perfection. Because you're not going to be perfect. But you're called to be set apart. Different. Your values on same sex should be different than the world's. Come on, this is hard stuff to preach about, but it's what the Bible says. Your values about premarital sex should be different from the world. You should not get your value system from friends in the office. Your value system should be from the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Come, this pulls on all of us, don't it? I don't even want to talk about these issues because I know the potential of you getting offended and leaving and never come back is very high. But see, the difference between me and the average preacher, I really do try to obey the Holy Ghost. Even when it's hard. And this is hard stuff. Come on now. All right, let's see what the apostle, bishop, doctor, pastor, Paul, the apostle, had to say in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And our chapter number 1, I apologize, Pastor Greg. Chapter number 1 and verse 2. To the church of God, if you're part of the church of God, just say amen. Amen. Not talking about the denomination, but church of God, duh. In Corinthians or in Independence, if you're part of the church in Independence, just say amen.
Amen.
All right. To those sanctified, there's that word holiness, are set apart to be different in Christ Jesus and called to be what?
Holy.
What are you called to be?
Holy.
Okay, say it really loud because some of y'all are so nervous today. What are you called to be?
Holy.
Look at your neighbor. Say, you are called to be holy.
Be holy.
So again, holiness is not perfection, right? Holiness is different. It's different. Set apart for God. Come on. Not for internet pornography, but for God. Not for Budweiser, but for God. Huh? Not for premarital sex, but for God. Come on, say something. Not for running your mouth and gossiping about church leadership, but for God. You still don't want to drink? You still don't want to drink? See, I hope that's what the world says to you because they see you so different. They're either like, I'm either going to get right or I don't want nothing to do with you. That's how we ought to be for Jesus, right? If you don't want to live for God, you can make fun of me all you want to. But guess what? There's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. There's a highway to heaven and I'm walking up the King's highway. Come on, Seth. That's good, brother. That's good. Okay, watch this. Watch. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Help me, Holy Ghost. Verse 16 and 17. Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit is living in you? If anyone destroys that temple of God, God will destroy him. Let me paraphrase. If you don't honor God in this lifestyle, with your lifestyle, when you get to heaven and stand before God, God's going to say, depart from me. I don't know who you are. You didn't surrender to me. And you will be destroyed forever. Well, why would a loving God send anyone to a place like that? He doesn't. You choose. Because he didn't make robots. He made people with a heart to worship something. And my friend, you worship something today. Show me your checkbook. I'll show you what you worship. Lord, you know I love you. These are your people. And I pray that they hear this today, God. Guys, listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this scripture here, oh, I was talking with Alex before first service. I said, man, I don't want to read this verse. I don't want to. I said, this is hard right here. He said, but it's truth. Verse 1, chapter 5, 1 Corinthians. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. He's talking to the church. And of a kind that does not even occur amongst those who are pagans, worldly people. That must be some pretty crazy, perverted kind of sex. You can find everything in the Bible, by the way. Drop down here to verse 9. I have written you in my letter not to even associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of the world who are immoral anyway, or greedy anyway, or swindlers anyway, or idolaters anyway. In that case, you would have to leave this planet. The world is the world. They're corrupt. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus, a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral. If you support sexual immorality, he's talking to you as well. Well, I'm not doing it, but they are, and I've opened up my house or my life or whatever to them. I'm supplying my money to them. No. Look, your neighbor, say, got really quiet just right now. Because, see, I'm trying to get you into heaven. It's this perverted truth that you have that needs to be unscrewed. Don't associate with them. A brother who says he's a brother, but he's sexually immoral. A brother who says he's a brother, but he don't give a dime to nobody. Greedy. All that church wants is your money. You're greedy. I shouldn't associate with you. An idolater. You know what an idolater is? It's not building an image and setting it on your house and rubbing the fat belly. That's not an idolater. An idolater is anything that you put before God, anything. What are you allowing into your home that comes before God? Does it line up to the standard of the world? If not, that's idolatry. Everyone in this room is guilty. A slanderer, which is someone who demeans other people with your words. Idiot, dummy, stupid, fool, idiot. Look how fat they are. Oh, they're fat. They said on Walmart the prices would drop. I mean, that's a sweet, you're destroying somebody with your words. A drunkard, pastor, how much is too much? You've already asked the wrong question. I personally believe you should live clean. That's my own. I don't drink because that's what the world does. I don't go to the bar because that's what the world does. You ain't going to see me at Hy-Vee getting me a big old bottle of Dom Perignon, if they even sell it there, because I'm a Christian. I don't want to look like the world, drink like the world, belly up to the bar. That's what I did before I got saved. But when I got delivered, I got delivered. Why would I go back to it? Well, that is up for debate, pastor. The Bible said, use a little wine for thy tummy's sake. They have something now called Tums. It does wonders. Took some the other day. Or a swindler. You know what a swindler is? You're always trying to cheat somebody. Nobody can trust you because we don't know what we're going to get when we do business with you. You're a swindler. But I go to church, pastor, with such a man, do not even have a burger with him. Don't even eat with him. This next part, boy, whew, no one can judge me. Only God can judge. It's because you're not reading the Bible. What business of it of mine, Paul says, to judge those outside the church? Are you not? What business is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? Are you not to judge those inside the church? Verse 13, God will judge those. God's going to deal with the world. Oh, he's going to deal with them ever so severely is what your Bible says in biblical proportions. But look, watch. But you as the church, expel the wicked man from among you. Or you as the church, judge the activity of those who claim to be brothers. only God can judge. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Look here at chapter 6 and verse 15. I know it's quiet in this Episcopalian church this morning, but I'm breaking theology down to you, and I hope it's going to change your life. Like, for real, I really want you to make it to heaven. Like, I really do. Like I really want you to surrender and have an epiphany in your mind, an aha moment, in the words of Oprah Winfrey, that you really, really need to get saved, get saved. Not just cry a tear, not say I'm sorry, not come to an altar alone, not just raise your hand, but a true repentance, turn the other way and say, I don't want the world as much as I want God. Look at verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Everybody go like this. Come on, everybody do this. That's a member of Christ. Why? Because the church is the body. It's us. Not just brick and mortar, but the people, right? Everybody go like this with the other hand. That's a member of Christ. Your fingers are an instrument from God. Shall I then take the members of my body and unite them with a prostitute? Let me, without being too graphic here, because there's children and religious people in the building, and I don't want to offend either or. Well, the second I don't care about, but the first I don't want to offend the kiddos. Paul was referring to you using organs for reproduction to being tied to the organs of a prostitute for reproduction. Y'all get what I'm saying? He was saying, how can you use that member of your body to unite with a member of the world? Wow. Holiness. Separated. Somebody say different. All right, verse number 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in this body. My sex life should glorify him. Come on. What I put to my lips should glorify him. Have you ever asked him what he thought about you drinking that? Have you ever asked the Lord, honestly, God, what do you think about me indulging in this? Because, look, he convicts me about what I eat. What? Yeah, I'll be putting some up to my lips. I'll hear the Holy Spirit say, you shouldn't be eating that. I'm like, ah, man. But it's so good. It makes me happy. But it doesn't make my body holy. And this is his temple. It's got to live on this planet for as long as I can discipline myself, because I want to be preaching till I'm like, you know, old gray, and I want to go out like Dr. Becker did or Dr. Hart did, where, you know, I didn't find out I was really dying until 2 weeks before. That's how I want to go out. Come on. Okay, flip over here with me really quick, and I'm going to conclude here on this one point after I make two more. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Do not, verse 14, everybody said, do not. Do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. For what does righteousness have with wickedness? Let me make it a little bit deeper for the sake of time. What does Christ and the devil have together being yoked together? Verse 16, what arrangement is there between the temple of God and the temple of idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Dennis, Josh, and Alex, come on. I want to show you guys this illustration. Everyone say, do not. Be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So a yoke is what was tied around two oxen's neck. And the idea was where one would go, the other would go as well. Paul is preaching to us this morning, what right do you as a Christian have to be yoked together morally with an unbeliever? He doesn't say to be their friend, to try to minister to them, to try to win them. He says to be yoked together with them. Their values becoming your values. Their belief standards becoming your belief standards. Pastor, I'm trying to win them, so I'm going to the club with them on Friday night, shaking my tail feather, lifting up shot, being just like them because I'm trying to win them. No, because wherever they're going, they're going to lead you. What God is calling us to do, you can see here in verse 17, look, therefore come out from among that yoke and be separate, different, holy unto me. Here's what we got to do. No, I can't follow you no more. I live by a different principle because I'm different. My values are different. My standard is different because I want to make heaven my home. I love you. And it doesn't have nothing to do with me being better than you, me being more perfect than you. I'm not strong enough to stand for what I believe if I'm yoked together with you. Okay, preacher, I don't believe that. Okay, well, let me show you this one. Come on, Dennis, jump up here with me. And so here's Dennis. Dennis is, I'm so proud of this guy, by the way. That's his beautiful wife up there on that camera, by the way. Their testimony, if you knew it, would blow your mind of God's delivering power. Dennis is doing great. He comes to church, pays his tithes. He shows up and serves. He wears an usher shirt. He serves his heart out. He's for the church. He believes in what God is doing here. He's serious about his walk with God. He's cut people out of his life that he knew that were bringing him down spiritually. He wants to please God. But now watch, Dennis is not perfect. Are you perfect, Dennis? See, he even admits it. He's got a little dirt in his cup still. Trying to catch me riding dirty. He already got caught. It's in there. Right? But he stopped offering his temple to everybody else. And said, God, I got stuff in me. It looks really good out there. But I want to please you. Right? So here's what happens. We serve Jesus for a little while. And then we get bored. Step up to the edge there. We say, oh, here's Brother Bar Guy. Brother Live How He Wants To Guy. He sleeps with 25 women every day. He's got it going on. He is the man. Look at all them fly honeys and all that money he has. He be dealing it. He be selling it, hustling it. He must be the man. I want to be like him. He must be happy. I know what I'll do. I'll become yoked together with him in the attempt to lift him up into my place of salvation and walking with God. Try to lift him up, Dennis. I mean, really try. Put your back into it. Boy, he's doing a good job lifting him up, isn't he? The world starts pulling back when you get that close, and watch what happens. You lose your influence. You ain't pulling that world up, honey. That world is going to pull you down. That's why you got to be sober. That's what we start off reading about. You got to be sober. You got to be alert. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. All right. Everyone stand up. Play a little something in the background there, Seth, because I'm almost done with this point. So here's what Paul says in verse 17. Therefore, come out from among the world, be separate unto me, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Boy, isn't that hard? Come on, talk to me. Come, I'm being honest. And I will receive you. When does he receive us? When we take the camouflage off and stop messing with it. Stop messing with it. I will be a father to you when? When you stop messing with it. Not when you have a tear at an altar, but when you say enough is enough. I am done. I will then be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, so many people, they say, Pastor Brian, why were you crying before service? Why was God touching like that? Guys, I am not perfect by any means. Ask the three young ladies that live with me. They will tell you. I have to push the reset button a lot because my attitude gets out there. You know, I have OCD on stuff like this right here is driving me crazy right this second. No, honey, you're okay. If my house isn't just like they'll tell you, I get an attitude. Like I have a cycle every month too. I mean, I have to push the reset button. I'll admit it. I know you guys won't, but I will admit it. So when I stand up here and I feel the presence of God so strong, it amazes me because in my heart, all I want to do is please God. I mean, really, that, when you peel all the layers back of Gallardo here, my heart wants to please him. Like, I just want to please him. I came to Kansas City. I didn't really want to come. I didn't really want to come to Independence. I wanted to go to like Miami or like Chicago or like LA, some huge fast pace. And the Holy Spirit was like, nope, Kansas City. I was like, well, Kansas City, here we come. And now I love it. I mean, my heart is here. Like, we've had offers to go to the place. I'm like, you are smoking something, man. I love my church. And It sounds so funny because when I first came here, my wife, she'll tell you, I was like, man, I can't stand the culture here. But now I'm like, man, I love the culture here because I have a heart for my city. But he could have picked 10,000 other guys to come here, could preach better than me, had full head of hair, ate right, ran on the elliptical, had a love relationship with the gym. I mean, there's many more better guys than I, right? We have some honorable men here in the building. They're great men of honor. Say what you want to about America. I'm thankful that guys like this pay a price for us. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So verse number 1 of chapter 7, and I know I said I was almost done. I really am. We are people of our word, core value number 1. Since we have these promises, dear friend, what promise? That if we come out and we don't touch the unclean thing no more, he will receive us, be our father, and we'll be his sons. We have this promise now. Then let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates both body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God. Let me give you an example. So my mind is slipping. Sis, tell me your name one more time. Patricia. Duh. Tell me your name one more time, sweetheart. Alicia, who's most beautiful. She's so pretty. Patricia is like a pit bull with Alicia. Alicia ain't going nowhere. Ain't doing nothing. If you a boy, good luck. Her daddy is a professional boxer, and her mother is Mexican, married to a Puerto Rican. You know right there, mama God, she may be short, but she ain't short. I mean, all the white people have no idea what I'm talking about. What's the difference, Puerto Rican, Mexican, huh? Aren't they all just Latinos? No! She guards her daughter like a mama bear. She's all pretty and cute and all little, and little Dean, even little frail, you know, all little. You mess with her daughter, she will stab you in the jugular. She will, I promise you. And if you will, listen, I would not want to be a boy trying to ask Brother Santos, can I like, I'd like to, no! Okay, I'm sorry, sir. Because, you know, it's a quiet dog you got to worry about. And Brother Santo, he's full of anointing and wisdom, but he quiet. I can just see him. She's sacred to her mama. And you should be that way with your kids. I'm that with my daughter. Our relationship with Jesus, we should guard that relationship. That's what Paul's talking about. We should guard that relationship. Some of you want to feel God, but you're too busy giving yourself to everybody else in the world that when you come to God, you're like, sorry, it's like my sloppy seconds. If he's not going to be Lord of all of your life, here's the newsflash, guys. He's Lord of nothing in your life. He doesn't take second seat to nobody. He isn't. The Lord is my co-pilot. He's not anybody's co-pilot. Huh? Newsflash. Get in the Bible. Read what it says. Get you a standard. You are different. Called to be set apart. Amen, somebody. Put your hands together. Love on Jesus.